Jessamine tried to speak, and couldn't. Too many things jostled in her head at once. She swallowed hard, moistened her dry lips, and concentrated on saying the one thing that mattered.
Douglas, I never meant to hurt you.
Then you screwed up, didn't you?
Douglas knew that he had to maintain his cold and merciless air, because if he gave in to his emotions, even for a moment, he'd start to cry right there in the house, in front of everyone. He just lost the only two people he ever really cared for. He gestured tiredly to the two waiting guards.
Take her away. I don't want to look at her anymore. Wait!
Finn Durandal came limping forward, and everyone fell back to give him plenty of room. His face was calm, but his eyes were angry, vindictive. The house fell silent, waiting to see what further surprises he had in store. Finn lurched to a halt before the throne, beads of sweat popping out on his forehead from the pain in his ribs. There was blood on his mouth and chin that he hadn't bothered to wipe away. Finn knew the value of a strong visual image. The sight of him standing before his king, beaten and bloodied but still unbowed, would be all over the media within the hour, and would go a long way to helping people forget he'd let the traitor Deathstalker escape. He managed a small bow to the throne, and then glared at Jessamine.
She is just as guilty as her lover, Your Majesty. Her treason is just as great. She must stand trial for her life, too.
You've done enough damage for one day, Finn.
Douglas glared around at the watching MPs before they could start shouting again.
Yes, she is a traitor, but only to me, not the Empire. There's been enough talk of death here today. This isn't Lionstone's time. Lock Jessamine up and let her be tried in open court. The people must be shown the evidence and be convinced of the truth, or they'll never believe it. Jessamine Flowers, the diva, still has a hell of a lot of fans. And the last thing we need is more riots in our cities.
He looked at the waiting guards again.
She's a traitor, so take her to Traitor's Hall in the Bloody Tower. A most suitable destination for the woman who would be queen. See, she's comfortable, but she is to have no special privileges and absolutely no visitors, unless they have my personal consent and my seal to prove it. And double the guard in and around the tower, just in case.
Yes. Traitor's Hall. An excellent choice, Your Majesty. Let the traitorous bitch rot there until the courts can get around to her. And when the courts have proven her guilty of conspiracy against you, the throne, and the Empire, and the people quite rightly demand her death, I, as your champion and official executioner, shall cut her head off on the traitor's block at the Bloody Tower and hold it up to show the crowds. I've always been a great believer in upholding the old traditions.
I always knew you were weird, Finn.
Then the guards hustled her away. After a long chase, Louis Deathstalker left the house unobserved, strode openly through the streets inside a borrowed cloak with a hood pulled well forward, and finally went to ground so thoroughly no one could find him. He was glad he'd been able to get out of the house without having to kill someone. They were just doing their job, mostly, just as he would have been, only the day before. But it seemed like every damned guard, security man, and rent-a-sword had turned out to chase and hurry him through the Parade of the Endless. He hadn't dared go near his gravity sled. It was bound to be watched. And even if he'd been able to take it by force, it would have only made him too obvious a target. So he walked up and down streets and in and out of buildings, watching carefully for anyone who might be tailing him. Using all the techniques of flight and evasion he'd learned from all the crooks and crazies he'd chased through the city in his years as a paragon, the irony of his position did not escape him. He'd become the very thing he'd fought all his life. He was the criminal now. No one even got close to catching him as he made his slow, excruciating way through the city. Not even when the house sent his fellow paragons out to look for him. Though Louis liked to think they weren't looking too hard, that they knew a setup when they saw one. Either way, this was his city, and no one knew its secret ways better than he. Louis Deathstalker had vanished, while a whole city turned itself inside out, searching for the greatest traitor of the Golden Age. He went to ground in an old lockup he'd used before in his Paragon days. It was just an anonymous metal shell, one in a long line just outside the main starport. Simple, steel-lined rooms roughly 10 feet aside with big, strong locks that could be used to store extra luggage and the like by Star Cruiser staff on a fast turnover. The lockups were cheap, featureless, secure, and practically invisible unless you knew what you were looking for. Lewis kept one on a long lease under another name to hold various items that he might need in emergencies, or that the authorities would prefer not to know about. Changes of clothes, extra weapons, mostly non-regulation, false identity papers and credit cards, and a few useful tech items of an underhanded nature. Lewis had often found it useful to be able to adopt new identities in the past, when he was still a Paragon, and sometimes had to operate undercover to get the information he needed, mostly in places where his distinctive ugly face would get him killed right away. No one knew about these other identities but him, not even Douglas. Lewis had always found such work distasteful and even borderline dishonorable. He did it because it was part of the job and necessary to get useful information and tips, but he never felt inclined to boast about it. He even had some simple body shop technology that could give him another face if necessary. No one ever expected Lewis to give up his famous ugly features, but Lewis had always known there was more to being a Paragon than fighting. He was capable of being subtle and even downright devious on occasion, when necessary. The first thing he did was to discard his black leather champion's armor, dump it all on the floor, and give it a good kicking. He'd never liked it. New clothes, new ID, new credit card, and he was a new person. A light tech collar around his neck produced a hollow-generated new face, with features so average they were practically invisible. Together with the right unobtrusive body language, no one would look at him twice in the street. He didn't use the body shop tech to change his face. He wasn't ready to cut all his ties with his past life just yet. There was always the chance he might still be able to prove he was no traitor, and somehow resume his old life, if not his old position. He had to believe that, or go crazy. Except, he still loved her. So he was a traitor, in that at least, and always would be. He pushed that thought firmly to one side, and made himself concentrate on the matter at hand. He strapped on a new weapons belt with sword and gun, and slipped a handful of throwing knives and other surprises back where they belonged. As he clipped a force shield around his wrist, he scowled unhappily. The power level was showing worryingly low. He'd meant to recharge the energy crystal, but with so much going on in his life, he'd never got around to it. And he didn't have time now. So he just shrugged, arranged a few more useful tech items about his person, took a deep breath, and left the lockup. He checked that the lock was secure, looked up and down the empty street a few times, and then walked out into the main thoroughfare. Wrapped in a somewhat shabby cloak, he strolled casually down the street, watching carefully from behind his holo mask, but no one gave him a second look. A Paragon shot by overhead on a speeding gravity sled, and Lewis looked up along with everyone else so as not to stand out, but the Paragon didn't look down and was gone in a few moments. Lewis walked on. Let them look for the Death Stalker. They wouldn't find him. He was gone for the moment. Lewis made his way across the city, using public transport as much as possible, dodging guard checkpoints when he had to. He was pretty sure his fake ID would hold up, but it had been some time since he'd last used it, and he didn't feel like putting it to the test until he absolutely had to. He couldn't be sure exactly how many of his secrets he'd shared with Douglas, or Finn for that matter, and how many of those secrets his ex-partners might remember. Either way, dodging around the checkpoints wasn't exactly difficult. The guards and peacekeepers couldn't be everywhere, and no one knew the ins and outs of the city like Lewis. He knew all the scams and dodges, because he'd busted most of them, and there wasn't a secret door or hidden passageway he hadn't chased someone through in his time. It didn't take him too long to get to the Rookery. Getting in was no problem. He'd been there before, in various disguises. Certain people would be very surprised to find out who their old drinking partner really was. Lewis pushed back his cloak so that his gun and sword showed clearly, and changed his anonymous shuffle to a broad and cocky swagger. Most people then had enough sense to leave him strictly alone. One Bravo lurched out of a bistro to brace Lewis, to impress his drunken friends.
Well, well, well. What do we have here?
Ed Lewis immediately beat the crap out of the idiot with such vicious thoroughness that even the hardened bravos watching from the safety of the bistro were impressed. Lewis left the unlucky bully crying in a corner, trying to find at least some of his teeth before his eyes puffed shut, and strode off down the street, whistling cheerfully. He'd been hoping to find someone dumb enough he could take out his bad mood on. No one else bothered him after that. News travels fast in the rookery, and they all knew a complete psycho when they saw one. Lewis ended up in a small inn with smoke-stained walls and windows that were never cleaned. The Mucky Duck was cheap and nasty, its booze was barely adequate, and its food was actually distressing, but it let rooms by the day or the hour, and asked no questions as long as your credit held out. Lewis had used the place before, and always had to take a long shower afterwards. Sometimes he burned his clothes, too. Still, the inn had the useful quality of being centrally located, on one of the main intersections in the rookery, which meant people were always coming and going, and the gossip in the bar never stopped. If Finn actually tried sending people into the rookery in search of Lewis, the Mucky Duck would know the moment the poor sods crossed the boundary. The rookery had no time for would-be undercover peacekeepers. Lewis sat on the edge of a very hard bed and stared glumly at the bare and grimy walls. No one would pay any attention to one more hard case like him, probably just looking for work as muscle for hire. And the inn wouldn't give a damn as long as his credit was good. Lewis shut off his hollow face to preserve the energy crystal in the collar. He had the door locked and bolted with a chair jammed up against it just in case. There wasn't a lot of credit left in his fake card. He'd been meaning to transfer some new funds into it for some time, but given how tight his finances had become of late, he'd never got around to it. When he'd been made champion, he thought he'd never have to come back to places like this. So he had enough credit to last 2 days, maybe three if he was careful and lucky, and then...
Oh, hell. Maybe I'll just rob a bank. I couldn't be in any more trouble.
He lay back on the hard, unforgiving mattress, his bare skin crawling where it touched the sheets, and stared up at the long cracks spreading across the gray plaster ceiling. He had some hard thinking to do. If there was evidence condemning him in his computer, and he saw no reason to doubt Finn's word, it could only be because some very professional person had planted it there, which meant there was a conspiracy against him. A disturbing thought. Shadow Court, maybe. This had the feel of the kind of thing they delighted in. Why kill a man when it was so much more fun to destroy his reputation and ruin him? Or maybe the elves had hired someone here in the rookery to get back at him. You could find any kind of crooked pro here. But if it was a conspiracy, he couldn't hope to fight it on his own. Not with a death threat hanging over his head. No one would side with him, and no one would believe him. He was on his own. Not least because where Jessamine was concerned, he was guilty. He screwed his eyes shut, as though he could hide from himself in the dark. He couldn't think about her now. He'd go mad. No. His only chance to redeem himself, and perhaps restore his honor, was to perform some act of great heroism, worthy of the Deathstalker name. He had to save the day, openly and extravagantly. And only one way came to mind. Find out the truth about Owen and his companions. What really happened to them? Was Owen really dead? If not, where was he? And if he could be found, could he stop the terror? Lewis raised his hand, opened his eyes, and studied the chunky black gold ring on his finger. Owen's old ring, sign and seal of Clan Deathstalker. Everyone seemed sure it was the real thing, given to him by a dead man. It must have been given to him for some reason. Maybe it did conceal some secret, useful information. And if anyone were equipped to find the truth, it was him. He was a Deathstalker. He sat up suddenly, leaned over, and activated the comm panel by the bed. It was a battered old unit, sound only, but it would do the job. Even in a dump like this, they had to provide the basic amenities, or no one would stay there. Lewis patched a call through to his old home on the world of Viramond, using secret family contact codes that only a Deathstalker would know. The Peacekeeper computers would be monitoring all the comm traffic, but none of the codes he was using would set off an alarm or trip any flags. And once contact with his family was established, they'd institute a whole series of security protocols from their end, hiding the true conversation behind pre-recorded talk of no interest to anyone. After what happened to Owen, and later David, the Deathstalker family was justifiably somewhat paranoid. Given the state of his credit card, Lewis had to call Collect, which complicated matters a little, but soon enough, Lewis was talking with his father, Roland.
Took you long enough to get in touch. Your mother's been worried sick. She's currently lying down with one of her headaches. We know what happened at the house. It's all over the media, the bastards. This line will be secure for about 20 minutes. And then, if you have more you need to say, you'll have to disconnect and try again. How are you, Lewis? You hurt? You need money? I can be there on Logris in under a week if you need me.
No, Dad. You're safer where you are. Everything's gone crazy here. I'm not hurt, and I don't need any help. If you came here, they'd pick you up the moment you landed. This is Logris, remember? Best security in the Empire. I should know. I used to help run it.
What happened, son? There's been all kinds of crazy talk on the news comment shows. They're calling you a traitor. Tell me it's not true.
It's complicated, Dad. I'm doing my best to sort it out, but that could take some time.
Yeah. You can't come home, Lewis. The family couldn't protect you. Friends in Viramont Security quietly informed us that they've been given orders to shoot you on sight if you're ever dumb enough to show your face here. The family will still do what it can to help you. We still believe in you. I believe in you. Now, tell me what I can do to help.
I told Parliament that we didn't have any secret information on the Blessed Owen, or his fate. But I've been doing some thinking, and it occurred to me that this might be just my opinion. Are there things in the family archives that I was never told about? Things no one knows outside the family?
Maybe a few small things. I would have told you if you'd asked, but you were never interested before. What does it matter now, anyway?
I need to know, Dad. It could be important.
Now, let me think for a minute.
There was a long, expensive silence. Lewis kept an eye on his watch and tried not to worry too much as a large chunk of his safe 20 minutes ticked away.
All right. How about this? We do know the exact coordinates for the location of the original Deathstalker standin'. Diana Virtue crash-landed what was left of the old castle on the planet Chandrakor. The standin' was shot to hell during the last great battle against Chubb, apparently. It wasn't considered worth salvaging. But whatever survived the crash might still contain useful information. No one else knows that. No one has been near it in 200 years. Partly because we're the only ones who know exactly where to look for it, and mostly because Chandrakor is even more hazardous now than it was in Owen's day. Not many people remember this now, but all the monsters created by Shub and the Mater Mundi and the Haidman and Lionstone's laboratories were rounded up and dumped on Chandrakor after the rebellion was over. I guess someone decided that was kinder than just killing them all. God knows how many of them might still be alive down there, or what their descendants have become. All anyone knows for sure is that Chandrakor today is just what that bloody world has always been, an endless, vicious killing ground. Word is the Transmutation Board would love to wipe it clean, just on general principles, but Robert and Constance personally declared the place off-limits. It's a sanctuary for all the creatures they dump there, protected by a quarantined star cruiser, and no one's ready to overturn Robert and Constance's decision. Public wouldn't stand for it. I can give you the exact coordinates where the castle crashed, if that's any use to you. But I have to say, it's a hell of a long shot, and a bloody dangerous one at that.
I don't seem to have many options. Thanks, Dad. And Dad, I'm sorry I let you down. Let the family down.
You didn't. They let you down. After everything you did for them, all the times you put your life on the line to clear up the messes they made, they had no right to treat you this way. They weren't worthy of you, Lewis.
Thanks, Dad.
Do what you have to do, son. And come home when you can.
I always... I just wanted you to be proud of me, Dad.
Ah, I always have been, Lewis. You're my son. And a death stalker.
Lewis waited till night fell to break into the Bloody Tower. He'd been rather surprised to discover that Jessamine was being kept in Traitor's Hall. It wasn't exactly a maximum security prison. It was once, of course, in Lionstone's day and before. You could be sent to the Bloody Tower for all kinds of reasons back then. You went in dragging chains, and you came out in a coffin. No exceptions. The spilled blood had soaked so deeply into the stones in some places that it could never be removed. The place was supposed to be crawling with ghosts. Now it was little more than a tourist trap, with guided tours and souvenir stalls, one of the great sights of the Parade of the Endless. Still, it was undoubtedly surrounded by whole armies of guards by now, if only to keep the media out. Certainly no one would expect Lewis to try and break in on his own to free Jessamine, so that was exactly what he was going to do. The Bloody Tower hadn't been used as an actual prison since Lionstone had been overthrown, and all the political prisoners freed. It was one of the few relics of that awful time that still survived, preserved now because the building was deemed to be of great architectural importance. Most of the other old prisons and detention centers had been burned down by furious mobs, but the Bloody Tower had survived almost unscathed, because it was too big and too strong and too solid for the fires to do any real damage. And while a great many others were officially demolished to appease the sorrow and rage of all the people who'd seen too many friends and family disappear into Lionstone's dungeons, never to be seen again, the Bloody Tower escaped destruction because Robert and Constance wanted it kept, as a reminder. These days, the Bloody Tower was run and maintained by a small group of historical enthusiasts who acted as guards and curators, complete with historically accurate uniforms. The tourists loved it. Especially Traitor's Wing, where those who particularly displeased Lionstone spent their last few hours before facing execution on Traitor's Block, before the assembled crowds. Ghosts were said to be really thick on the ground there, strolling around with their heads tucked securely under their arms, freaking out lone guards in the early hours. The more Lewis thought about it, the less it made sense. If they'd put Jessamine in a real prison under maximum security behind tangle fields and force shields with security cameras everywhere and professionally trained, well-armed guards all over the shop, Lewis would have had a hell of a time getting in. So he had to wonder whether she'd been deliberately placed in the tower to act as bait in a trap for him. It was what Lewis would have done. But in the end, it didn't matter. He said he'd come back for her, and he would. No matter how many guards or guns or traps they put in his way, though hell itself stood in his path.